OM.com. Welcome to another edition of Midpoint Monday. This is Nestor, your brother in peace, love, and justice, and I am ecstatic to be in your ears today. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 Community Radio. Now, that was Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, a quick and maybe unknown fact about the song that just opened up the show. Billy Joel's 1989 hit, We Didn't Start the Fire, was a compilation of more than 100 headlines, events, personalities between 1949 and 1989. And the reason he created that song is because somebody challenged him and said, you know, at the end of the day, what's been going on? There's nothing of interest that has happened since you've been alive. And Billy Joel took that and ran with it, and he compiled a song full of all the events and activities that were going on. And the biggest part of that song was, we didn't start the fire. All of these things were here long before we got here. So that resonates with us today, because we're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about government, our government, and all the things that are going on in our government. But imagine what a song like that would sound like today. Imagine, I don't know, something like climate change, safety, housing inequality, Black Lives Matter, Me Too, child abuse and hate groups, we didn't start the fire.
Yeah, I think Lupe Fiasco has some songs which could...
You're right about that. He certainly did. And that was not me throwing my voice over to another microphone. That was one of our fantastic guests in the building. And that's what we do. We're a hard-hitting news and public affairs show that will sing with no shame on the air. So thank you again for joining us. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. This is Nestor, your brother in peace, love, and justice. And I am extremely enthusiastic about today's show, not simply because I have delicious coffee, but more importantly, because I have two phenomenal guests in the building with me that are going to join us for today's conversation. So let me first introduce you to Jahora Warren, a local public elementary school teacher, person with lots of opinions about all sorts of things, and shares them through her lifestyle blog at That's So Jahorrible, and of course, champion of all things awesome. Jahora, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Nestor.
Much appreciated. Also in the studio is a voice that might sound familiar to a few of you, not just because he's a local Tampa attorney, but because he's also a fellow guest host on our Sunday morning program called The Urban Cafe, Jamal Chapman. Thanks so much for joining us, brother.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Now, today, you know, given that it might be, as we've talked about previously, I am temporarily guest hosting Midpoint Monday. So this might be my last week, which I'm good with that.
Man.
I know, that's depressing. I'm good with that, but I figured if we're going to do it, let's make the last show, let's go out with a bang.
Go out with a bang, yeah.
Let's go out with a bang. So today, we are talking about still believing or putting value in our current system of government.
I believe.
Is that a ridiculous or reasonable proposition? Right? So what I'm asking, once again, is if you think it's ridiculous or reasonable to believe or put value in our current system of government, give us a call. You can call us at 813-239-9663, or you can shoot us an email to dj@wmnf.org. Let us know what you think. Tell us your thoughts, opinions, or ask us any questions that we have. Jamal.
Now, you're going to unpack that, right?
Like, yes, yes. Okay. I am going to unpack that. Don't worry.
That's pretty big bag.
Big bag. It's a huge bag. So I'm definitely going to unpack it and give a little context to that question for sure. But before we jump into that conversation, there are just a few bits and pieces of the news that we have pulled out from the headlines, both big and small, to share with you today. So what do we have going on? So in the local news, the Islamic Society of New Tampa came together yesterday in a community interfaith and solidarity response to the horrific attacks on the mosques in New Zealand this past Friday. The vigil took place in Thanota Sasa in honor of the attack victims at the Dar es Salaam Mosque, where hundreds from different races, creeds, colors, religions, faiths came together to show their respects and stand in solidarity and support. I had the honor of being at that event, and it was phenomenal to see all these amazing people coming together. Christians, Jews, all kinds of people, atheists, everybody came together in support of our Muslim brothers and sisters. So it was just fantastic to see that love and share in that space. So I just wanted to share that. And speaking of solidarity, local youth in Tampa Bay rallied together, joined thousands of youth from not just across the country, but across the world, to demand lawmakers take legislative actions towards the Green New Deal and work to combat climate change. The deal, which is intended to transform the U.S. economy to combat climate change and create thousands of jobs in renewable energy, was supported by Tampa youth as they marched in unison on Friday with thousands of similar youth events that took place across the country on Friday. Joining the march were local Tampa high school students, as well as students from colleges and universities all across the area.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so proud of our young people. They really are going to be making the difference in our communities that we need.
Absolutely, and they already are. They're demanding change around climate change. We've seen what happened after Parkland. I mean, our young people are getting together. They are galvanizing around the issues that are important to them, because at the end of the day, they're going to have to take over.
Right.
Right.
That, so, I mean, if we screw up things, well, I don't know. I guess I'm still a millennial, technically.
Are you Jamal?
I am a millennial.
Are you? But,
yeah, based on the definition.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. We believe
now,
you.
Are you a millennial?
I am not.
You're not
a millennial.
But you're close to it.
I'm close.
Are you a baby boomer?
No.
Really? That's disrespectful.
That's nothing against baby boomers.
Nothing against I'm just saying you're not.
I'm definitely not.
You're Generation X.
I believe I am.
Yeah.
I'm Generation
X,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, youth and adults also came together this weekend, but for a more festive reason. If you've never seen a green river before, our Hillsborough River was transformed into a bright shade of green in celebration of St. Patrick's Day. 200 of America's largest cities were compared and judged based on Irish pubs, lowest price hotels and weather forecasts, and Tampa ranked of 200, number 5, as one of the best cities to celebrate St. Patty's Day.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting.
I know. Yeah. I would never have guessed.
Well,
no,
I know, for example, I'm from Michigan, so the weather situation, you know, it might have been snow outside, so I'm not really trying to be out in a parade.
Yeah, that's fair.
So you got to be a southern set. I've actually been to a really good one in Jackson, Mississippi, too.
Oh,
shout
really?
Out Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay. Nice. I wonder where they rank on downtown. The list of 200.
Well, I mean, they might not be that high. I don't know.
I'm just surprised that we're number 5.
Yeah. Mississippi at times, but they should be up there.
True enough. So in national news, across the largely quiet, peaceful South Pacific country of New Zealand, the mosque attacks where 50 were killed have prompted the people into action. Some have rushed to their online dealers and stores to stock up on semi-automatic assault-style rifles, and others have unlocked their secure cabinets and turned in their firearms into local police stations. That's huge. And all are bracing for what are likely to be significant changes to New Zealand's firearms policy. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern labeled the massacre the worst act of terrorism on our shores and immediately promised swift action, calling for gun laws to be changed. Details of the changes will be announced within the week and must be passed by Parliament, but they're expecting significant change to come quickly.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. So which person do you think you would be? The person who turns in their semi-automatic gun, or you say, hey, where's that key at? Let me get mine.
I would be the person who never had a gun in the first place.
Fair. That's a hard question, because I feel like I'd want to give it back, but I'm like, I trust myself with it,
yeah.
Right? You know, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I do trust myself with it. I do trust myself to keep it locked up, make sure that I'm not wearing it out in public or any of some of the other crazy things we've seen. So yeah, I think I would hold on to it, but ensure that it's safe.
I'm the person who I don't turn in the key, but I have it, but maybe you don't know I have it.
You would be that person, Jamal.
Was anyone else surprised that it happened in New Zealand, of all places?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, yeah. I think everybody was surprised that it happened in New Zealand. Of a place like New Zealand.
Right.
I feel like here, that's a Tuesday.
Right.
You know?
It really
but
is.
In New Zealand, that is kind of the worst thing that could possibly happen when it comes to guns, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's see. So at least somebody's calling the attacks terrorism. Mm-hmm. While the rest of the world was trying to come to terms with the carnage wrought against Muslims in New Zealand, our favorite person, Donald Trump, spent the weekend demanding the return of supportive Fox News host who was missing from her usual spot on Saturday. After verbally attacking an American Muslim lawyer and for her Islamophobic remarks about Representative Ilhan Omar, as well as continuing on this feud with the late Senator John McCain. But this weekend's tirade came after this very tepid tone on Friday when he said that he actually didn't think, and this is real from our President of the United States, that he didn't think white supremacy was a growing global problem after the attack of the two mosques in Christchurch. So, you know, the suspected gunman reportedly posted a 74-page manifesto before the shooting, which called Donald Trump a symbol of white supremacy and claimed he was just a regular white man ensuring a future, quote, future for my people. Come again, Trump? How is this not a growing global issue? Genuinely. And finally, meanwhile, the Transportation Department Inspector General is investigating the FAA's approval of the Boeing 737 MAX. The investigation launching after the 737 MAX planes were grounded for an indefinite period globally last week in the wake of two deadly accidents involving the aircraft model. Both crashes, which occurred 5 months apart, remain under investigation by the Indonesian and Ethiopian governments with the assistance of the U.S. and Boeing. So you are listening to WMNF 88.5 Midpoint Monday. This is Nestor, your brother in peace, love, and justice. I am joined in the studio today with Jehora Warren and Jamal Chapman, and we are really excited about our next segment. So we are going to, given that it is potentially our last show, we're like, why not? Let's throw it all to the wall, right? So we're really excited about our next segment. We like to call ridiculous or reasonable. Okay, ridiculous or reasonable. So every so often, and I'll explain, every so often we're going to bring up a topic and ask you what you think about that topic. And you let us know by giving us a call at 813-236-9663 or by emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. When you reach out and we pick up the call, the first thing you're going to want to tell us is if it's ridiculous or reasonable, and then tell us why. Okay? So, we already have a call on the line. So before we jump in, again, the conversation is about, is it ridiculous or reasonable to believe in and put value in our current system of government? And part of this conversation, and we're going to get to a call in a minute, but part of this conversation is because I've been traveling the country, right? Mainly the East Coast. I can't say like I'm doing a countrywide tour yet, but I've been traveling around having conversations with people, and more that distrust for our government is increasing. More and more people are feeling like this government, the current system, does not represent who we are. It doesn't represent American values that across the board. I mean, look at our justice system. Look at climate change and our environment issues. Look at our Department of Education. inequities can be found all throughout that, right? So is it even reasonable to believe in that, or is that just a ridiculous proposition? That's the question we're asking today. And we want you to join in the conversation by giving us a call at 813-239-9663 or by emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. And share your questions, your thoughts, your concerns about where you think things stand. Jamal.
Yeah, I'll start with the reasonable approach. I believe that the systems can work, and they are working and have been working to some degree. I think the issue is, well, there's quite a few issues, but it could be the people in charge of them. If money isn't interest in what they're doing, if people are incompetent, people are in roles they shouldn't be in, a lot of those things would definitely affect the efficiency of some of those systems. And then let's say you have inherent discrimination against a group or people in one of those systems. You can make a tweak to change that. Like, for example, criminal law, the sentencing law, like that.
See, but you say tweak. Right. You say you can make a tweak.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like many of us, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to say me, it depends on the issue, but I feel like there are a lot of people that feel like it has gone past the point of no return. You know, like we have gone past the point, and those are the conversations right. I've had, I can't even believe in that. Burn it down.
The question is this, then. That sounds really, really great. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your solution? And that's what the problem is going to be. Because if you want to overhaul a government system, mm-hmm. okay, what is your solution going to be? Like, this is not something that, it's not like, you know, building a Jenga block and knocking it back down. You want to overhaul and change the way we do government. So what is your solution? If you have a solution and it's good and it can work, then, hey,
see,
maybe we can try it.
But I think the challenge is, so solutions are being put out there. Look at something like the Green New Deal, right, that AOC is putting out there. I mean, it's incredibly comprehensive. Yeah, there are details to work through, mm-hmm. but people are tearing it up before it even hits the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that part of government. People are introducing solutions, but you have people in positions of power that don't even want to talk about it. Now, before we jump in, let's get to our first caller. Our first caller is Craig from Sarasota. You're on the line. How you doing, brother? Is this ridiculous or reasonable to believe in our current system of government? Hey, Craig, I'm sorry. I think you have the radio on and we're getting feedback.
Now, before we jump in, let's get to our first caller.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and put Craig on hold. We're going to bounce over to David. David, you're on the line.
Hey.
Ridiculous or reasonable to believe in our current system of government?
Well, actually, the answer depends on how you phrase the question.
Okay.
You're talking about the people that are in place in the government. You're talking about the voters not insisting that the people that are in place do the things that they are supposed to do under the form of government.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the constitutional form with the three branches of government. But one of the problems is this, and I've found it personally in having conversations from other people and calling up various agencies. If you have someone stealing from your great-grandmother, putting her in a nursing home, there's a law that says that's a crime. When you call the police about it, the police tell you that's civil matter. So it's not the form of government that's the problem. It's the people that are in the jobs all the way up to the top and how they respect that form of government and what their job is and what they should be doing and what they're not doing. That's my opinion. There's nothing wrong with the form, and I don't know another form that would be better. You know, oligarchy, no. Patriarchy, no. This form works if the people work at it.
Okay. Thank you for that, David.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate that. Jamal, when David was talking, you had your hand in the air. Is that kind of where you are?
Well, I think he was agreeing with what I was saying to the extent where, like, because I'm looking at some things for the Green New Deal. That's not a overhaul of government. I guess, you know what? I guess when someone tells me an overhaul, like an overhaul is a complete, total change.
Yeah, but you were earlier talking about solutions. Mm-hmm. What are the solutions? Right. Introducing solutions like the Green New Deal.
But that's people not are already overhaul. Shutting. What I'm saying is, to say, does the government? Because okay, well, premise your question again. For example, the main question you have about the government
is it ridiculous or reasonable to believe
right.
in the current system of government, to put value in the current system of government?
Right. And I don't think the Green New Deal is really changing the current system like that.
I mean, it's introducing a lot of legislation that isn't solely focused on climate change, but it's focused on crime and jobs and all these other pieces. So I feel like it informs certain levels of government. Now, Johora, you were shaking your head. Yeah. Where do you stand?
I think it's so much deeper than just changing the people that are in the positions, because the way I see it, the government wasn't created with me as a person of color in mind. I think that it is absolutely ridiculous to still have faith in this current government, and I think 45 has just exacerbated that. Langston Hughes said it best in his poem, Tired. He says, "I'm so tired of waiting, aren't you, for the world to become good and beautiful and kind. Let us take a knife and cut the world in two and see what worms are eating at the rind." I think we need to proverbially, not literally, just burn it. Just
burn it,
start from scratch. We need to just knock it all down, and we need the power to go back to the people.
I hear that. And that's a lot of the sentiment that I've heard with the young people and the older people that I've been having conversations with, is that we've just been waiting for so long for change to happen. Mm. At this point, are we past the point of no return? So I just want to do a quick... you are listening to WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You are listening to Midpoint Monday. This is Nestor, your brother in peace, love, and justice. We are joined in the studio today with Johora Warren and Jamal Chapman. We're going to jump to a phone call. Bob from Tampa, ridiculous or reasonable to believe in our current system of government?
Yeah, I believe in it, but what bothers me is seeing McConnell bragging as to what he can bring to the floor for a vote, that he's the one that decides. When I took civics in high school, they didn't tell us that the majority leader in the Senate could decide what gets voted on. I think that's totally wrong.
I hear that, Bob. Thank you for calling us. I mean, and Bob is calling out one of those issues with our system of government. You have one person, one individual that determines who comes through, or determines, excuse me, the legislation that gets heard on the floor and voted on. One individual. And that's what people are frustrated with. You know, you have a system of government that puts that much power in one person.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't say the same about our president, right? We have checks and balances that exist, but we still have that one person in the Senate that is doing the same thing. Is it a broken system?
Right. And we also have these career politicians, and there's no term limits for those that are in Congress. And it's just, we have people that literally will die in that office and nothing will be changed for 50, 60 years.
I hear
with
that.
However long they're in there.
Absolutely.
So my question would be, like, let's say those two things were changed. Would that be considered a complete overhaul, or could those two changes?
I don't know. For me, that might be that feel of working in the gray, right? And working in the gray is we polarize ourselves into these two communities of people, this black faction on the one side and white faction on the other. And working in the gray is our ability to work together and talk to each other. So I feel like that feels more like, we don't want to burn the system down, but we want to change this major issue behind it. Mm. I feel like, yeah, that is one of those things that I feel like it doesn't burn the system down, but a complete overhaul of that particular aspect of the government that's not working for a lot of people. I feel like that's where that stands. So we're going to jump to our next caller. We have Don from Seminole on the line. Ridiculous or reasonable, Don, to believe in our current system? Dan, excuse me.
And it's reasonable. I think that one of the things that we have to realize is that the system has its flaws, and it can be tweaked. And I think what we're at the stage of where we got to start tweaking it in a more in a way that is a little bit more representative and that the voice of the people are represented a little bit more. I think there's been an overshoot for the moneyed interest and whatnot to take a lot of that through manipulating the game power away from the people. We need to use the system that we have, tweak it in a way. The Green New Deal is not an overhaul. It's a plan provided by the left Republican people that believe in climate change. And it's a good plan. We just have to be able to discuss it and change it so voices are heard more. I don't think we have to take complete overthrow. That'd be reckless. We're still better than most.
I hear that. Thank you very much, Dan. And it sounds like, Jamal, there are people out there saying tweaks here and there. For me, a tweak doesn't just feel, it feels like a Band-Aid. You know,
yes,
a tweak
a
feels
solution.
Like a Band-Aid. And I'm not taking anything away from you, Dan. I would agree we can certainly do things within the government, but tweaks just don't feel real enough.
This is the issue. I mean, to be reasonable and think we would have a complete change of our government system likely would lead to some type of civil war or something. And I just don't think we're at a point where we need to go through any of that as a country. And I think that there's some give, some take. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, you know, if you look at politics, people who are successful, there's a little give and a little give and take. You can't just have it your way, because more than likely, if you're talking to someone, like let's say you're Republican, right? But you know, good Democrats, good Republicans, or you're a Democrat, you know, good Republicans, good Democrats. You're working with people and coming together, because if you're talking to someone who's very passionate about an issue, I mean, we don't know everything. We all make mistakes. We're all humans. It's likely part of what their proposal and what you're proposing can come together and make things a better place. Now, if you're taking someone who's radical, like a very radical liberal and a very radical conservative, those two people may not agree on something. But I think to just not work together with the other person is just not productive.
See, but what happens if we're going down that road, right? The world, or at least this country, is becoming that much more polarized. Mm-hmm. So how are we supposed to expect
That's what some
the increased polarization?
That's what the tweaks come in at, because if you want this and they want that, but you can find a way to have a decision which can be, I guess, you know, a little better, and it can be experimental. That would be the thing, is taking risk. You know, there's no problem, I think, taking risk and making some changes.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be a strategy and a plan outlined along with that.
I hear that. Johora, what do you think?
I can understand. Change is scary. Like, the idea of us completely reevaluating our government and what's inherently wrong with our government, that's scary to do. It's scary to think about, oh my gosh, we need to change every single thing about it. But I think that's the point that we're at now. I think we have to. And just making little tweaks, I don't think, is enough. And Dan had said, oh, you know, our country, our government is better than most, but that's not good enough to me. I think we rank really low with just morale of our people. And we have so many people who are just unhappy. And I think that's because of how things are coming into play currently.
Okay. Thank you for that. So we're going to bounce to another caller. We have Zach from Riverview. Ridiculous or reasonable, Zach, to believe or put value in our current system of government?
Come on, Zach.
I'm a little... It's ridiculous how it is right now.
There it is.
But,
there you go, Johora.
But the basic nuts and bolts of the system are okay. And I think I even can suggest a way to fix it.
Okay,
let's hear it.
All right, here's what I came up with. I decided about a week ago to save the world.
Thank you so much. The world appreciates you, Zach.
That's awesome.
So here's the plan so far. We need to create a super PAC for the good side of every choice. Because, let's face it, if you had to make a choice and there was two sides, one was very good and one wasn't very good, you would always pick the one that was very good. That's where lobbyists come in, okay? So if you throw money at the politicians, they end up making the wrong choice. So in order to combat that in the short term, we need to make a super PAC that can compete with the NRA and all the other, you know, big tobacco and all these things that are offering money for their wrong choices. So, I don't know, you get Bill Gates on board, you get Oprah on board, you get, you know, all the solar companies on board, and we have this fund that we can match the offer of the other side.
Okay.
I think that would be a good first step. And then we could make a contract for our elected officials that state they will not take money or presents or gifts, whatever, while they're serving their country.
Okay. Thank you for that, Zach. Thank you so much for that call. So Zach brought up a really important point, right? Which is lobbyists and big money coming into campaigns and elections and almost buying people like Mitch McConnell or buying people because he has a constituency. He's trying to, as Johora mentioned earlier, stay in office for as long as humanly possible until he dies. So he's going to continue to speaking to big interests. He's going to continue to do that. So Zach brings up a really good point. How do we offset the amount of money? Now, my question would be around who determines what's right or wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's always called into question depending on which side of the issue you stand.
Right.
But there's just so much big money in our politics, which informs what happens with our democracy.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I think at the same time we have to have a smarter contingency because, okay, money does not always win a political election.
Accurate.
What wins a political election would be typically the misinformation people are receiving or a lack of voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
So hence, you may have money which will spread misinformation, lies, deceit, or see certain kind of political ads, but that comes on people to be informed about certain things. Like, let's say in this mayoral election we had in Tampa, people are putting the commercials out, people are spending money. There's no amount of, example, I didn't vote initially for Castor, I didn't vote for David Strass. There's no amount of money which could have made me want to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I'm an informed voter of what's going on. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm. True enough. So we are going to come back. You are listening to WMNF 88.5's Midpoint Monday. Give us a call. Tell us your thoughts. 813-239-9663. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and come right back and pick up the conversation.
You can now listen to WMNF and archives of shows you've missed right on your iPhone or Android smartphone. Just download the new WMNF smartphone app. It's free, and it means you can listen to WMNF whenever and wherever you want. Get the WMNF phone app now.
Again, you are listening to WMNF 88.5 Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday with your host, Nestor, your brother in peace, love, and justice. I am joined in the studio today with Jamal Chapman and Johora Warren.
Hi.
And we are having a conversation about the most important question. Is it ridiculous or reasonable to believe or put value in our current system of government? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. We're actually going to go ahead and jump to a caller that's been on for a while. Andrew from Hardy County. How you doing, Andrew? Ridiculous or reasonable to believe or put value in our current system of government?
Hi, Nestor. Thanks for taking my call. And the first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to have to break your paradigm. Because, quote, our system of government, as you guys are discussing it, is a situation where what you're doing is sitting there discussing a group of abstract moral equivalencies which don't exist. All right? You've got, you know, one of your voices is saying, well, we can work with this and we can work with that. And my typical response to that is that carbon dioxide, for example, there are other things, but carbon dioxide in particular does not have a party affiliation.
Sure.
And you cannot negotiate with 450 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere. So content of policy is actually what needs to be discussed. The The truth is that almost any form of government, including even a one-party structure such as the one that we have now, that just happens to have two names, but it's still a one-party structure, which we used to complain about when the Soviet Union existed. But we've got a one-party structure in this country, and it is, in fact, controlled by money and the people who influence the media. So let's, you know, take a page from Rick Wolf, professor of economics, who is on the airwaves. And what Professor Wolf likes to talk about is substance, right? He won't countenance a conversation where we're not talking about things like infant mortality, life expectancy, the absence of a basic survivable income for a very significant part of this country's population. You know, that's where politics lives, folks. That's where politics lives. It lives in the substantial issues. And you guys are saying, well, do we fix the structure? Do we fix the structure? The more activated the population gets, the better off we're going to be, because the only fix in any democracy is an active, aroused population. And the only solution to any quote-unquote issue is for people to be aware. That's a lot harder with a press that does everything that it can to manage information, to basically manufacture consent, and see to it that the worldview of the population is controlled by a, you know, small but substantial component of the population that's willing to go along with the game plan as long as they can sound like they know what they're talking about, and then a much, much smaller component of the population that has a lot more influence on what it is that gets filtered out to that lower elite.
Okay. Thank you for that.
There's nothing implausible about that, and we're not talking about conspiracy theories. We're talking about people who have learned how to market, how to manage, and are taking those methods and applying them as, you know, let's take Mr. Zuckerberg for an example, well-known at this point. And you guys, let's hear you all start talking about some substance instead of throwing abstractions around to the end of the program.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you for that, Andrew. Really appreciate that. So my takeaways from Andrew's comments were, one, it's about the people, right? It's not necessarily a system of government. It's about the uninformed public, mm-hmm. and that we're not diving deep enough into those critical conversations.
Well, that's what I went into a little bit, I think, with the vote and whatnot, like lack of vote. Because if people took time to educate themselves on different issues and whatnot, a lot of things would change in just the way we operate as a society. I think a lot of things would, the more informed we are as people. And he's right mm-hmm. about that.
Sure, sure. I think what I have issue with, and Johora, you can let me know what you think, but I think what I have issue with Andrew's comments is that we are not diving deep enough into substance. You know, we still have issues on the table around equity in our justice system. We still have issues around equity in our education system. Right. We still have issues with popular vote versus the electoral college.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, these are fundamental principles of our democracy that are being called into question often, right? And I refuse to believe that we're only starting to scratch the surface of right. those conversations. Now, we've been doing this for a long time, trying to make these things more equitable. And still, there's still a huge proportion of people out there that are being disenfranchised. Johora, did you have... Okay.
Yeah, like, I mean, what Andrew said, you know, that's still what's your day job? What do you do?
I'm a consultant.
Okay, you're a consultant, right? Yep. You're a teacher, right?
Yes.
I'm an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, this is not our job, but if you have time on your hands, you can make it your job. You can do it. We're here to bring the conversations to the table. I mean, I have clients texting me right now, people calling me, you know, it's my first time on Midpoint. I'm usually in the courtroom or doing stuff right now, yep. but I'm just saying we're here to bring up, to really facilitate the conversation so people can have solutions. So, mm-hmm. you know, I hope Andrew has a solution. I mean, before that, a guy said he had the plan to save the world. Yep. So come on, Andrew, it's in you.
Step up,
you
Andrew.
You can save the world.
Step up,
and right. we would love to know how we can do it so then we could say it on air and spread the word.
Yeah. And you know what? I actually agree with you with what you just said. I haven't agreed with you the entire show. So wow. I'm glad for that. Like, my children are listening right now. They're, you know, 2 and No, actually three in a year and a half. But they could be the ones that are making the difference within our
Absolutely.
Within our
or
system.
Imagine what the world could look like when they're old enough, when mm-hmm. they become adults. What right. is the world that they're going to inherit for sure?
Exactly.
We're going to take another caller. Chris from Clearwater, you are on the call. You're on the line. Ridiculous or reasonable to believe or put value in our current system of government?
So great. With the last caller, it is reasonable. It's just that the folks don't have the time or the money to the spare time or money to get involved, to have patient conversations, to identify corruption and stop it. There are two solutions I would like to offer if you'd like to interview those who are involved with Tampa Bay Time Bank and St. Pete Time Bank, so that we can decentralize at least somewhat our income, keep the wealth local, and afford higher quality goods and services. Because for so many, the economic crash has happened already at the expense of their health and their life. So don't wait for politicians to reform economics. We need decentralization in commerce and in other areas like communication and agriculture and energy. They're key to sustainability and variety and freedom. The system isn't being observed. The laws aren't being followed. And the people are needed. With the power of the people, we can stop the corruption. And we can promote and participate in equitable commerce media like time banks that are public, usury free. There's also community currencies, barter networks, cooperatives, swap shops, and community gardens. And with these, we can defeat usury and more abundance, help afford more heirloom quality goods and premium services, allow more time for civic involvement, encourage patient conversation, and trend towards a gifting society, and so it's the norm. Because as technology increases, so should our standard of living, but obviously the technology of currency and credit has been rigged. And the very definition of fascism is under what we live right now. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation that issues the currency and through its member banks issues the credit. And you can see that in federal law, U.S. Code Title 12, Section 411, that says that Federal Reserve notes are obligations of the United States payable to the Federal Reserve in lawful money. And to change the coinage power of Congress, a constitutional amendment is needed, not just the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, but for some reason people seem to have followed Federal Reserve Act of 1913 for now almost 106 years. And because human productivity is virtually unlimited, it's limited only by time and technology, the supply of currency shouldn't be limited by any commodity or basket of commodities like gold or silver. It should be based on human productivity.
Okay.
But if it's based on a commodity, then we restrict our productivity, our beautiful potential. And for the sake of national unity, it would be nice if the government could be trusted to operate a currency credit system as a public utility for the benefit of all. As we've seen across the country, governments can't be trusted to operate public utilities. If they could, I wouldn't be drinking purified water.
I hear that. Thank you for that, Chris. Thank you for that call. And my takeaway from Chris's call was really it's about the people, right? It's about an informed or uninformed public that can inform that. So I would love to hear, is it a failure of the system or is it a failure of the people within that system that are meant to do that? But before we answer that question, again, you're listening to WMNF 88.5 Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday. I am your host, Nestor, your brother in peace, love, and justice, and I am joined today in the studio with Jamal Chapman and Jahora Warren. So either one of you, is it really not about the system of government? It's a failure of the public. What do you think?
Well, I think it's definitely a failure of the public and people, because, for example, if we're looking at legislation like the Green New Deal and whatnot, well, wouldn't that be a product of the people and the change they want? Wouldn't that be considered that? A product of the people and the change they want? And now, question is, did that come about in, you know, as an opposition to Trump? If you're saying we're polarized to the point where we have and extreme views on one side, and then if some of the ideas in that proposal are extreme views on another side, you know, is that because what I'm saying is this. Okay, so let's say this bill doesn't pass, right? We're looking forward. If some things in that bill are taken out, but 80% of the bill is going to pass, would you go ahead and agree with that? I mean, depending on what they take out, and let's say if you think it was reasonable, you mm-hmm. see, then I think that us going forward in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
maybe not as a way that we want it or some people want it, but it's still moving forward.
Okay. Okay. I mean, as long as it's still moving forward, I imagine that that would
she's
help.
Like, she's looking like I'm not here for that.
No. No, I think it's problematic to keep saying that the people are uninformed. I think we are informed, or if we aren't uninformed, it's because we aren't putting enough into our education system. I know I provide an excellent education to my students, but like most people don't know all of the different things that go into our government, and I think the government banks on that. I think they like that we don't all know exactly like all the different pieces of how it works. So,
right. It's almost like they're preying,
yes.
preying with an PR on our ignorance.
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of barriers being put for the people who are trying to fight back.
Okay. Thank you.
And I know that would sound bad, but I think a lot of people are like that. Like the doctor doesn't want you to know everything about what you, oh, they don't want you to know. Because if you then you don't go see them, you're not healthy. The dentist, your accountant, the banker. Part of the thing is with their business is that you trust them to do certain things. Now, I think, you know, sometimes with the government, there's too much self-interest and money involved. But I look at that as people have not taken accountability for your government. Mm-hmm. If politician A says he's going to do X, Y, and Z, and he gets in office and he does A, B, and C, well, and you don't check them on that, him or her, mm-hmm. that's on you as a people. You voted for them.
I hear that. I hear that, but again,
Trump. We didn't vote for him.
Well, some people did vote for Trump.
Some people did vote for Trump, but again, it was that issue with our democracy, mm-hmm. the electoral versus the popular, right? There are a lot more people that didn't vote for Trump.
Exactly.
But he got the electoral.
Right.
And that's another issue that causes distrust within our system.
Well, I mean, that's the president. I'm looking more so like if you look at a lot of the local elections and different things that people aren't even voting in.
Yeah. Well, look at our recent municipal elections, right? We have it between Jane Castor and David Strass for mayor, but that's based on 20% of City of Tampa voters went out there and voted. And now those are our options.
So that's what I mean. 8 out of 10 people, like, they don't even, okay. I don't know what to say.
I hear that. So we're going to go to another caller, Howard. In St. Pete, ridiculous or reasonable to believe or put value in our current system of government?
Hello?
Hello, Howard. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Ridiculous or reasonable? What do you think?
Ridiculous, for sure. What happened to basic common sense of what right and wrong is?
Amen. Amen to that.
Jahor is agreeing emphatically in support of what you're saying, Howard.
You know, I don't understand it. You know, where does it stop?
I hear that. And that's a real question. Where does it stop? Like, if you keep pouring into the system that you have felt your entire lifetime has failed you, where does it stop?
Well, with that notion of right and wrong, people are always doing right and wrong since the beginning of time.
Thank you, Howard.
I think that has to be kind of unpacked. Like, people are doing right and wrong. Everyone's always doing right and wrong.
Yeah, but we're talking about a political system. And to go back to your example of the doctor's office doesn't want you to know everything. You're right, right? The doctor's office doesn't want you to criticize or critique every little thing that they've gone to school. They've done all those things. But we're talking about elected officials.
But I'm saying medical malpractice is one of, I believe, the top three leading causes for death. So, you can say...
But there's recourse.
Talking about politics, what do you mean recourse?
There's recourse, right?
What?
If a doctor does something that's wrong,
right,
or that puts you in a position that's unhealthy, can sue.
It's not that easy to find a medical malpractice attorney. It's not that
that's
easy.
Fair.
You're trying to sue a doctor.
I'm not going
to
argue that with an attorney.
They have money, a lot of issues. It's not the easiest type of thing to do.
I hear that. Okay, we have another caller, Jay from Sarasota. Ridiculous or reasonable to believe in our current system of government?
Well, people bring up the Green New Deal. The New Deal happened in the 30s because of the Depression. Everybody went to work, and it got, the government works fine if you have a way to facilitate it and make it happen. Whatever parts you want to pick apart and play around with, the New Deal under Roosevelt was put this country back together again from falling apart after the crash in 29. But the new Green New Deal is just trying to do the same thing, and not just the Rural Electrification of America, the REA, or the WPA, putting all the workers to work, but the continuation that there was 25 years of 91% taxes on the wealthy at that time. The upper marginal rates were 91%.
Right.
That's how they paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to look at the economics, you're going to wander around in all these picayune little things. The Green, that lasted for 25 years, 91% until 1960. People were paying those taxes that financed all these different things that we did successfully. So what the Green New Deal is trying to resurrect that approach to government. So everybody needs to start getting around what happened in the New Deal. Get their...
Okay, thank you, Jay. I think we lost you, but thank you very much, Jamal.
Yeah, that was outside my law professor's door. It was not what he's talking about, the marginal. Are you guys familiar with that? Exactly?
No. You want to
okay, talk? So, yeah, at the New Deal, I would believe it was after the first $100,000 you made, all money after that was taxed at a 91% rate. And people were paying that because we had to reestablish our country after right. World War II.
Well, yeah. I love that we live in a country now where billionaires like Jeff Bezos don't have to pay anything in taxes.
But that's a whole other show. The way his income has gone, I don't know if you guys have seen. I mean, it's not like he got his money overnight. I mean, it's like he did because it's just going like doubling and tripling. I mean, I don't think he's going to be stopped.
I hear you. So we are actually coming to the end of our show. So unfortunately, we can't pick up any more callers. So we want to just say a huge thank you to Jamal and Johora. Anything you want to close out?
No, I just, going back to the previous caller before Jay, I don't remember his name, I'm so sorry. But it's all about what's right and what's wrong, and I really hope that we consistently choose what's right, especially with what's happening in New Zealand and how they're working towards having a ban on assault rifles. Like, that's the kind of things I want to see. Yeah. In our country.
Jamal?
Yes, a true blessing to be on the radio another day. And I want to thank everyone for calling in who agreed. I think it was more people who agreed than disagreed.
Yes. Okay.
And those are great WMNF listeners. And, you know, they have faith in the people because they support a station like ours and call in. And we're for the people. So I think that the people are going to rise up.
Yeah. And I just want to say I also support the callers that called in, all of them, not just the ones that were on Jamal's side.
Well, I support everybody. But,
I do as well. Know. At the end of the day, for me, it's about being able to work together.
Yes.
If we have a system that we feel like, many of us feel like, is failing us, then it is incumbent upon the people in positions of power to make sure that we acknowledge their understanding of the system and then do things to make sure that it doesn't feel like it's failing so many people. Because we've gotten to a point where we've polarized ourselves to the point of...
All voices need to be heard.
Absolutely.
And I don't feel like my voice is being heard currently. So I think we need to change that.
I hear that.
Not literally, Jamal. I mean, you people can hear me now, but, you know.
Well, thank you so much to you guys for showing up, having conversation. I want to acknowledge our creative producer. I want to shout out Alvaro on the boards and DT.
Thanks,
and the whole Urban Crew team. You are listening to Midpoint Monday on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. We are excited. We are excited to move on to the next show. We are going to be moving on to executive session with Craig Kopp. So we're excited about that show coming up. Again, if you have any opinions about anything we've talked about today, feel free to give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can send us an email, dj@wmnf.org. Thank you so much. Again, this is Nestor Ortiz, your brother in peace, love, and justice. And until next time, continue working in the grays so that we all win.